God's word is Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 7 all the way down to verse 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. This is the reading of God's word. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, bless your people who are hearing of your word. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us know Jesus Christ more and more. And by your grace, let us be like him. And let us be able to witness him through our lives and through our church. Even at this time, we ask that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 9a, Jesus says, pray then in this way. He teaches the prayer of the citizens of heaven. The prayer of the people who are participating in this new exodus, the true exodus. Not just exodus from one place of this earth to the other place of this same earth, but the exodus from this world and into the new world. We call this prayer the Lord's Prayer. And we'll study this prayer for weeks to come. And I pray that as we study the Lord's Prayer, our God will teach us what is prayer, and that He will teach us how we ought to pray. I pray that we will fully understand the importance of prayer, how prayer is not an option for Christians. I pray that by His grace, our church, Christ and Heaven, will be a church that prays with zeal. For 3 weeks, first today and two more weeks, it will be an introduction to prayer. We do this before we look at the Lord's Prayer in detail. So next three times it will be somewhat topical prayer, topical sermons. But after that, introduction, we'll start from verse 9, see the Lord's Prayer in detail. Well, let us start our introduction to prayer by reading Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, verse 6 through 8. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast My covenant, even those I will bring to My holy mountain and make them joyful in My house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on My altar, for My house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. The church is God's house of prayer for all the peoples. And in Jesus Christ, you are the church. Thus you pray. It is as basic to a Christian as breathing is to people. And yes, prayer is a means of grace. With the word and the sacraments, it is something that we must use to, or so that through it, we may receive grace from God, and you and I know how much grace we need. There are two kinds of people in this world. And I guess you could make this distinction in so many ways, but today, two kinds of people. One who truly pray, and I use that word truly, so we are here saying that people who belong to other religions, they do not truly pray, for their gods are false. So there are people who truly pray and people who do not. From the time of Adam and Eve, God has separated the whole human race into two groups. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15a, I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. So two kinds of people, Satan's seed and the seed of woman. Two kinds of people, two kinds of life, two different ways of living. And everyone belonged to one of these two. In Genesis, we see the beginning of the history of man. And in chapter 4, as we all know, we see Cain killing his brother Abel. But God gives Adam and Eve another son named Seth. Thus, in Genesis, we see the whole human race begins with Cain and Seth. So this line of Cain and the line of Seth. And from Cain's line, we see a picture of people who belongs to this world. And from the line of Seth, we see a picture of people who belong to heaven. The Cain's line then builds the city of man. And the line of Seth builds the city of God. One is centered on this world and the other world, heaven. Let us go to Exodus chapter 4. I want us to read together a few verses out of that. Well, in chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned, and in them, in Adam, I should say in Adam, not them, because Eve was not our representative, only Adam. They sinned, and in Adam, all have fallen. And we see the effects of sin right away, because already in verse chapter 4, we see Cain killing his brother, Abel. But in chapter 4, verse 16, this is what we read. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So here, the beginning of the line of Cain. But the very first thing that we read about Cain is that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So as a fallen sinner, now he lives his life apart from God. And this is what we read in verse 17. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. So he built a city. And verse 20, verse 18 and 19 continues that line of Cain. But in 20, we meet Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Verse 21. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. And verse 22. As for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal Cain was Nama. As you could see, this line of Cain, they accomplish a great advancement of the civilization, the development of skills and technology in all kinds of areas. Now, the skills and the technology themselves are not bad things, but the problem of sinners is that with these things, they do best to deny God and thinking to themselves that they do not need God. And their development reached a climax at the Tower of Babel in chapter 11 of Genesis. And chapter 11, verse 4, they said, these sinners, they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They said to themselves, let us make for ourselves a name. They are a picture of this world. Let us unite and we will live. There's nothing we could not do if we put all our powers and abilities together. These sinners believe in and depend on and boast about their power, their abilities. It is all about man's power and ability and wisdom. But how about the line of Seth? We see these people who belong to line of Cain, how they develop technology and how they make this advancement of civilization. But how about the line of Seth? Chapter 4, verse 25. This is what we read about the line of Seth. Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Line of Cain. Awesome worldly accomplishments. And you read about that. But line of Seth. All you read about is what? That they called upon the name of the Lord. They prayed. Now, isn't this pathetic? Here's one line with brilliant accomplishments of this world. And here's another line. Seth, his descendants, they call upon the name of the Lord. And here we see how the city of God is built. Is it by the power and the ability and wisdom of men? No. The people of God pray. They depend on God. Thus they build the city of God by the power and ability and wisdom of God, which is foolishness to this world. The world, they do not pray. And even if they do it to show themselves. This world has concluded that it does not need the true God. The true prayer, it is not about praying much to show how pious you are. The true prayer is actually humbling yourself. It is to acknowledge that we are not able. It is to acknowledge God, that God is only one who is able. Thus, by praying, we acknowledge we are weak. We are not able. Some people even use praying to show off, to show how pious they are, how blessed they are. But if you truly understand what is prayer, you are actually acknowledging that you are not able. Only God is able. It is to understand truly who and how we are, and it is to understand truly who God is and how God is. Verses 7 and 8, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Let me ask you a question. What is good prayer? What it means to pray well? When you say someone prays very well, what do you mean? Maybe what you mean is that person can articulate things well, like good speech, so to speak. You do not have to use flowery words or words that impress other people. God already knows what is in your mind. Do not use meaningless repetition, he says. They utter these words that they do not know what they mean. It sounds great. Or it is so acceptable in Christian circles. It impresses people. And they speak the words that they do not mean in their hearts. Matthew chapter 15 verse 8 says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 2a, "Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought, to bring up a matter in the presence of God." You are not to just come to God and in haste utter the words you didn't even think about. And we'll talk about this more later. And the next question is, for what are we to pray? Well, the best example is our Lord Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. "Father," he says, "if you are willing, remove this cup from me." This is at the Mount Gethsemane, right before his death on the cross. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours will be done." We must pray according to the will of God. Thus, we must know the will of God. Thus, we must know the Bible. If you want to pray properly, then you must study the Bible. You must know the Bible. Because you must know the will of God. You know, my kid, and I'm sure this is the same thing with every kids, when he was really young, really small, whenever we go to store, he wanted me to buy things. He asked, "Can I have this? Can I have that?" But now that he has grown up and learn the will of his dad, that he now understands me and what I want for him. So when we go to store together these days, he doesn't ask because he knows. He knows my will. He knows what is my desire. Yes, when we're born again, when we're recreated into the image of Jesus Christ, yes, we are baby Christians, but we must grow. And we must learn the will of God. Bible clearly teaches us what God wants. What is His desire? And as you learn His will, your prayer will be according, more according to His will. And you're not going to be asking these stupid things anymore. These days, the Lord's Prayer itself has become meaningless repetition to many who go to church. Isn't it ironic? Here, our Lord is teaching how to pray. Why? Because He says, do not use meaningless words, meaningless repetition. And He gives you this Lord's Prayer, but these days that Lord's Prayer itself have become meaningless repetition for many, many people who go to church. Because they simply do not know what they're saying when they recite the Lord's Prayer. It's meaningless to them. But they memorized it. But they don't know what they're saying. Week after week, they repeat meaningless words. This should not be. But we're not to pray like that. True prayer, like we said before, it is acknowledging our inability. We are not to pray to be seen by men. We are not to pray to be praised by men. We are not to pray to show ourselves, to exalt ourselves. As we pray, we acknowledge that we cannot do anything apart from God. And that is exactly what our God has said, John 15 verse 5b, apart from me, you can do nothing. Thus, not praying means that you do not need God. By not praying, you are in fact saying, I don't need God. Thus, those who do not pray are the most arrogant and proud people. They don't pray. And their life says, I don't need you, God. This is a picture of arrogant person. The world do not pray, world does not pray, for it depends on its own strength and power and ability. And the world encourages you to be like that. Be confident of yourself to show what you are able to do. And boast of your abilities. How about you? Do you pray? What What do you depend and rely on as you live your life? Good jobs? Your abilities? Your wisdom? Your degrees? Your power and skills? Or your money that you have in your banking account? Do you feel secure because of these things? When you have them, you feel secure as you live your life here. Do you feel secure when you have much worldly things? Those things bring security to you. Or do you rely and depend on God? Is God our security? Those who have much things of the world, they tend to have confidence on themselves and on this world. Thus they become arrogant. They think they are able to do anything. Nothing they could not do with their ability and their money. This is tragic if Christian is like this. They feel secure when there's so much money in their banking account, but they start worrying when there's no money. So your security, you prove to the whole world your security is things of this world. And you know these people who have much in this world. These confident people who think they are so able. And they live for boasting of their abilities. Thus, they feel they do not need to pray. They don't need God. Brothers and sisters, if you do not have much, and that is why you have to go to God to ask Him to give you even those basic stuff of your life, consider yourself blessed. As you find yourself on your knees, begging to God to provide, consider yourselves blessed. Because you and I, we're going to learn what prayer is all about. How blessed are those who pray. How much blessings of heaven that they already possess for those who pray. But the world is not like that. They are so confident of themselves. They think they are able. Some of you might think that you are at a certain college because you have abilities. Some of you might think you have better job, better business because you are so able. Well, think again, brothers and sisters. If it was God's will, He could put you in any places of this world. He could make you of anything He wanted to. Even those people that you look down upon because they don't have a good job, because they didn't go to good college. God could have made you that person. Which means God has caused all things so that you be you. And it's not something to boast about. It's something to give thanks to God. Don't ever think you're better than anybody, especially in this church, because you are not. You are not better. If you have that kind of feeling, you have that kind of understanding, then repent. Maybe get out of that college, maybe get out of that business, maybe get out of that job so that you will not be arrogant. Because it is worse with those things and be arrogant. So that you may not pray. Luke chapter 12. Verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Don't be a person that the Bible calls a fool. We must be humble before God. We must be on our knees. We must pray. We know that apart from God, we are nothing and we are not able to do anything. We must pray. We must obey the will of God, and we are not able, thus we must depend on God for everything. We must pray. For what do we pray? Not praying is very bad, but praying for wrong things are also very bad. James chapter 4 verse 1 through 3, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And remember, brothers and sisters, as we pray, we are the one who are changing. We change our desires to be the desires of God. brothers and sisters who do not pray to change God. There's some dumb people who think they could change God. That if they pray so much, they could change the will of God. And remember, brothers and sisters, only the true Christians can truly pray. You must understand the gospel to pray properly. You must understand what kind of blessings you already possess and able to enjoy. You must understand what has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It doesn't say, first, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and second, seek all these things of the world. That's not what it says. First, here, the word first is not so much of sequence, but the primary. That you are to seek first and foremost His kingdom and His righteousness. And these other things, God did not say seek it, it will be added unto you. We are to seek the things above. And we are to set our mind on the things above. And that is the content of the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer that seeks God's kingdom and His righteousness. And we're going to look at this more next Lord's Day. But nothing in the Lord's Prayer is seeking this world. And verse 13b says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, now my Bible has this phrase in a parenthesis, which means that the oldest and the most reliable manuscripts do not have this phrase in it, which means that that is in the parenthesis may not be the original Bible. But that does not mean that what it says is not biblical. As you could see clearly, it is biblical. So we're going to include that as we study the Lord's Prayer. And that is good teaching, that we are to pray for the glory of God. We are to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And Lord's Prayer has nothing to do with seeking this world and the things of the world. You might say, what about the verse 11? Give us this day our daily bread. You know what you're asking there? Daily bread? Oh, we want much, much more than daily bread. Actually, if it's just about daily bread, you will not even worry. But seeking daily bread is hardly seeking this world. How can we call someone who is just seeking daily bread, oh, he's seeking the world? No. And we the Lord's Supper many times and see what you are really asking when you pray this prayer. Nothing is about this world. And Jesus says, pray this way. We must pray according to the will of God. And we must know the will of God. And if we want to know the will of God, how we are to live, and what is His plan, well, then you look at Jesus Christ and the reality of heaven. If you know how we must live, then look at the life of Christ. There you go. That's the life that you are called to live. And if you want to know what is God's plan and how everything is going to be accomplished, well, look at heaven. That is His plan. That's the fulfillment of everything that He planned. Heaven. And if you pray according to these things, then you are able to pray with confidence and certainty. Not confidence in yourself, but confidence and certainty you are able to pray because you know that that is God's will. And because you know that is God's will and you pray with confidence and certainty, thus you cannot give up. It will be fulfilled. No, it is already fulfilled. Spiritually. For example, let's say if I'm praying for your sanctification, and you are truly Christian, and I'm praying for your sanctification, I'm praying that you will be like Christ one day, that you will sanctify by the word. If I'm praying that, I know that is God's will for you, and God is already accomplished. That spiritually, and I know that God will accomplish that. One day when you see Jesus face to face, I'm going to see that person and I'm going to say, whoa, he's like Christ. See what I mean? If I'm praying according to His will, if I'm praying for your sanctification, I could pray with confidence. I could pray with certainty. And I will never give up. Because God will fulfill it. So I will continue to pray. Never giving up. Because it is God's will. And this is how we are to pray. But if I'm praying, whether you win the lottery, then, well, I know that it's not God's will, but, you know, you're not sure. That is why your prayers are not certain. Because you're not confident. But you want it, but you know He might not want it. Well, He doesn't want it, but that's why your prayers are the way that it is. Because you pray for those things that you know that are not God's will. But like the Bible says, James, remember that passage? You ask, but you don't receive because you ask for wrong motives. You want to use that for your selfish pleasure. But thank God you don't receive it. And let's say you pray those kind of stupid prayer, and let's say you do receive it, then really worry. Then seriously worry about it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is praying. Even now, He always prayed and He always prays. And we are called to participate in His life of prayer. Be like Christ even in our prayer life. He prays. But as we pray, always remember that without Christ and the salvation that He has accomplished for us, we cannot pray, and even if we do, it does not mean anything. God does not have to hear us. I mean, just the fact that God hears us. And even as you come to God, just begin to pray, and you realize, God is hearing me. Don't you think that is enough already, enough blessing already? The fact that God hears you? Sometimes some people think that God has to hear us. No, He doesn't. He does not owe you anything. And yet, by grace, He does. Because of Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished for us. Remember His prayer, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but Yours will be done. It's all about God's will or my will. The question is, who is God? God or you? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was seeking the will of God. But in the Garden of Eden, Adam was seeking his own selfish will. He wanted to be God himself. First Adam, seeking his own will. The second Adam, seeking Father's will. If you pray according to your will, then you witness you are God. For you, there is no other God. It's you. But if you pray for His will, you witness that He is God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, through true prayer, through proper biblical prayer, let us witness that God is truly our God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful privilege that we have, that we are able to come to You and pray. And Father, through prayer, that we are able to have sweet fellowship of heaven with You. The sweet hour of prayer. Let us often come to You. Pray always, pray ceaselessly. Let us humble ourselves, be on our knees, and pray. Oh Father, bless this church, that this church, as one body of Christ, will pray and pray. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.